Look at me, son. It's not your fault.
Welcome back to another episode of Sundays with Jeff Miller. It is a Don't Look Back Wednesday because we had COVID on Tuesday. Well, we didn't have COVID on Tuesday, but a lot of the players in the NFL had COVID, which definitely postponed things with all the games being switched to, you know, Sunday from Saturday and Monday from Sunday and then to Tuesday. It was just a crazy week, which brings us to a even crazier week, you know, because now we have teams who are actually struggling a little bit more with the COVID, and they're kind of whining because they just played on Monday or Tuesday, and now they got to turn around and play on Saturday or Sunday, and it's just a mess in the NFL. So if you're still in the playoffs, congratulations. If you're not, it's understandable because it was one of the worst weeks in fantasy football. I mean, for instance, for most of us, it was the first Sunday, but a lot of people, it was their second Sunday of fantasy playoffs. The leading rushers this weekend, Craig Reynolds with 112 yards. Who does he play for? Do you know? Detroit Lions. Jeff Wilson. Who's that? We've heard of him. 110 yards, San Francisco. Deontay Foreman, 108 yards for Tennessee, and Duke Johnson for 107 yards. And I'm going to be totally honest with you right now. I can't tell you who Duke Johnson plays for. I don't remember. I don't know. It's just crazy. Let's see. There were some positives, right? Brandon Cooks had 7 catches, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. James Robinson returned a little bit to normal, 18 carries, 75 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches for 13 yards, so a little bit of normalcy. TJ Watt, we're going to switch over to the defensive side, makes Steelers history. He had 1.5 sacks against the Titans. He now has 17.5 on the year, which is a new season single record for the Steelers. Watt also currently leads the NFL in sacks, and he could break the single season record if he averages 1.83 sacks per game over the next 3 games. How about Debo Samuel, the 49ers? There's an offensive player. Debo Samuel added another rushing touchdown on Sunday, which means he now has 7 on the season, and that ties him with Lenny Moore in 1961 and Tony Latone in 1925 for the most rushing touchdowns for a wide receiver. How about the Falcons' offense in total? It's just a failure. The Falcons became the first team since at least 2000, as far back as, you know, research can go. Well, I think it could go further, but it didn't, to turn the ball over on downs 3 times inside the opponent's 10-yard line in 1 game. The Falcons had 3 different possessions get inside of San Francisco's 10-yard line, and all 3 ended with a failed fourth down. During this sequence, the Falcons ran a total of 5 plays from the 49ers' 1-yard line, but they were unable to score on any of them. And didn't the LA Chargers do something very similar in their game? Because I think I read something that said that they have an analytical coach, but maybe they should hire a common sense coach. I don't know. I think they're getting a little crazy with these analytics. I mean, what happened to the old school where you just take the points, right? I mean, I am pretty sure that LA passed 3 or 4 times on fourth down in field goal range, and had they kicked 1 of those 4 or 2 of those 4, would have won the game in regulation and then not lost it in overtime to Kansas City Chiefs. And then what about the Rams last night in the first half? Same situation. They're playing that analytic game. They're down there, I think, 3 times. After your kicker, you march your kicker out to kick a 56-yard field goal, and then you turn around and don't let him kick 20-yard field goals, I think 3 times, 3 straight times. They almost lost. It almost cost them a game. Luckily, it didn't, but it almost did. Chris Godwin, if he's on your fantasy team, and Tom Brady, probably cost you the playoffs. But Chris Godwin is also out for the rest of the regular season. And they're also stating that Leonard Fournette will be out the rest of the regular season. So they went and signed Bell to play for them. Good luck with that if you pick him up. Good news, Travis Kelce, he went off with 4.1 points alone. And get this, he would have beaten a lineup with these players in it. This is kind of crazy. This is how crazy the weekend got. And he was the only guy in our over 40 club this week. We're going to briefly mention that. If you would have had Tom Brady, Alvin Kamara, Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, Deontay Johnson, and Amari Cooper, and Rob Gronkowski as your starter, Travis Kelce beat them alone by 2.1 points. How is that? They would have only had 39 combined points. That is crazy. How do you draft your fantasy football team for that? I don't think you can, right? Let's see. Next up, what do we have going on? There are, Kyle Pitts. Talking about Atlanta and in that offense, right? You got it. Kyle Pitts has 847 receiving yards on the year and is averaging 14.6 yards per reception. That's really not bad. He only has one receiving touchdown this year, and he's only been targeted targeted 12 times and had three receptions in the red zone. But already you have to look at Kyle Pitts for next year and think that maybe he could do good for your fantasy teams. All right. We are going to start a campaign to stop using defense and kickers in fantasy football. That's my question for this week. What do you think about stopping using defenses and kickers in fantasy football? There was a poll taken, yes, on Sleeper, and it showed that 73% of the leagues currently do not use kickers in their fantasy lineup. How about that? I think that's a crazy, crazy stat. We're going to take a quick look at some starters for this week for your fantasy football team and see what you think about these suggestions, because there's a lot of people out there who are hurting for starters for fantasy football this week. So we're going to get to it really quick here. We're going to look at quarterbacks first. And there's a big suggestion out there that if you have Matt Stafford, you continue to play him. He'll be playing at Minnesota this week. The Rams received a wake-up call when they were spanked by the 49ers. And Stafford has been pretty good with at least three touchdowns since that time and three of his last four entering Tuesday's game against the Seahawks. He's got a good matchup against the Vikings, who have allowed a top eight quarterback in three of four games heading into Monday night. And we're not really counting those stats, but Matt Stafford could be a good start for your fantasy team. On the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins, some people are touting him as a starter. He's been pretty good this season. He's had at least two touchdown passes in six of his last eight games. He had just 87 passing yards against the Bears, though, and that might be a downside, but he has been pretty good as far as fantasy points go. Would you look at Jimmy Garoppolo if you're in need of a quarterback and he's on your roster? I don't know. Would you have started him instead of Tom Brady? Probably not. So I'm not even going to suggest that you do that this year. Joe Burrow, another one that's been bouncing around. He didn't throw for very many yards against the Broncos. He's playing Baltimore this week, but he did play pretty well. He managed 25 rushing yards in the game. And the Ravens' defense is still banged up. They've allowed the sixth most passing yards this year, so Burrow could be a possible play. He scored 26 points against them in Week 7 when he was a QB2. Would you start Ryan Tannehill versus the 49ers? I'm going to suggest not. The 49ers have allowed a top 10 quarterback once in the last seven games. Tua against New Orleans? Nope, not when I saw what New Orleans did to Tom Brady this week. How about Davis Mills versus the Chargers if you're allowed to stream? How about him? Would you take him? He was a QB1 for most of last week until the Tuesday games were played, and then he kind of slid down a little bit, but he did do pretty good. The Chargers have been good. They've allowed a 300-yard passer just three times this season. It would be kind of crazy if you did start him. And then, you know, there were some people and some rumors out there that maybe Jared Goff would be somebody you would consider for the Detroit Lions, but he is currently, I think it's listed as injured. Maybe it's COVID. I don't know. Something's going on with him, so we're not going to trust him either. How about running backs? Some running backs you might want to start. James Robinson's still good to go. There you go. He's got to play the New York Jets. And the dude had 21 touches, nearly 18 fantasy points, including a touchdown in the post-urban era world down there in Duval County. Now he got the Jets to have allowed the most, who have allowed the most touchdowns, most yards, and most fantasy points to running backs this year. If you have James Robinson, he should be in your lineup for your playoffs. David Montgomery against Seattle is also a good play. Although the Bears have not been giving him the ball much in the around the goal line, or anybody for that matter, I don't understand that. It's been a little frustrating, but maybe this week he breaks out. He has at least 15 touches in 9 of 10 games, and the Seahawks have allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs this year. Dave Montgomery should be in your lineup. Here's one of my big rock stars. Javonte Williams has helped carry my team to a Super Bowl playoff appearance this week in one of my fantasy football leagues, and I will take it because I was the last team to make it in the playoffs, and I am now going to play the team who is ranked number one, so I have a shot. I have not been favored to win any of my games and have won two in a row to make it to the finals in this league. So kind of excited about that. It's been a while since I've been in that position, but Javonte Williams is the guy I'm talking about. Not only is he going to be good for the rest of this year, right? He's the Jonathan Taylor of last year and the Austin Eckler of the year before. So I'm going to stick with Javonte. I kept him in my keeper league, and I am excited to have him as a fifth round keeper next year. He has had 20 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. I think last week he was around the 13-point mark, which I will take for a down week. And I'm going to take Javonte Williams. Nick Chubb, he looked pretty good against the Raiders last week, but his team wasn't real healthy, so he just missed what could have been a monster game. I look for Javonte Williams to have a monster game this week. Cordarrelle Patterson versus the Detroit Lions. If you have him on his roster, you might want to get him back in your lineups. They've allowed 22 touchdowns to running backs this season, and I think CP would be a good play. Somebody I may not want to start, Joe Mixon versus Baltimore. Been a little dicey. His health has been kind of back and forth. He's had single-digit points in 3 straight games. Not sure if I'm willing to risk him. Saquon Barkley at Philadelphia. Not in this situation. If your game really matters, I'm not going to trust Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to trust Devin Singletary at New England either. Those are some sits for your fantasy football team. How about wide receivers? Let's look at a few wide receivers quickly here and see what we're looking at. Yes, I would start Van Jefferson. Even though he didn't really have a good game Tuesday night, I'm going to start him against Minnesota. Minnesota has been in some pretty high-scoring games for the most part, and that's why I would put him in. He had touchdowns in 3 straight games headed into Tuesday night versus Seahawks. This matchup against the Vikings, they have allowed the most fantasy points to receivers this year. So him, Cooper Kupp, and Van Jefferson would be a good play if you have him on your roster. How about Brandon Ayuk versus Tennessee? Might be a sleeper. Yes, you're going to start George Kittle. Yes, you're going to start Debo Samuel. And yes, I think Brandon Ayuk might be the sneaky play. The Titans have allowed the most receptions and second most fantasy points to receivers this year, so he might be a sneaky play for you. Another guy I really like, if you got to grab somebody that's and he's out there playing because of COVID, you might sneak Russell Gage into your lineup against the Detroit Lions. He is really starting to ball, and he could be a really good play against that Detroit Lion defense who has been susceptible to the pass. Another guy, Michael Gallup, or versus Washington, another good play, as is his counterparts in this game. The football team is allowing the third most fantasy points to receivers this season, and I think you have a really good shot with those guys. Players I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play Chase Claypool at Kansas City. Kansas City's been on fire, and they've only allowed one offensive touchdown in or less in 3 of their last 4 games to receivers. DJ Moore versus Tampa Bay, another matchup I'm not willing to risk. He's failed to reach the top 20 status in the last 10 games. He's only made it one time. Wow, that's crazy. The Panthers quarterback situation is kind of crazy. We're not sure if Cam Newton's going to start or PJ Walker's going to go in and throw the ball. Kind of risky there. Kendrick Bourne versus Buffalo, if you're streaming, although he might be the only healthy New England receiver, or probably not going to play him against Buffalo's defense. Marquise Brown struggled a little bit this year. Tyler Huntley, on the other hand, played really well. They're going to be playing the Cincinnati Bengals. He's had five consecutive games with less than 62 receiving yards. Only 6.7 yards per reception since week 10. I am going to probably pass on Marquise if I have a better selection that I'm going to take a look at. And then tight ends. What about tight ends? Who are we going to have play for Travis Kelce if you have him in your lineup? He's on COVID and he doesn't play. Who are you going to look for there? Zach Ertz, if he's available, would be a good play against Indianapolis. Indy has allowed the third most fantasy points to tight ends this year. So this would be a really good spot to get Zach Ertz into your lineup. Kyle Pitts versus Detroit. Talked about him a few minutes ago. I don't see why you wouldn't start him. Maybe this is the week he actually gets some touchdowns. Noah Fant at Vegas is another solid start for you. He did score his last touchdown in week six versus the Raiders. Just bear that in mind. And then if you're looking for a deep sleeper, CJ Uzomah versus Baltimore might be a play. Might be the guy that I would go for. I know he had 24 points against him in week seven, so they might be trying to pay a little bit more attention to him. But if not, he may hit double digits in that game. Anyway, Baltimore has struggled against tight ends this year. Dalton Schultz versus Washington, not a very good game just a couple weeks ago. Probably not going to play Dalton Schultz. Evan Ingram at Philadelphia, another player that's not going to probably see my lineup. Kind of would feel better like with a guy like Uzomah in that matchup, just because it's a good matchup. Foster Moreau played better last week. I'm not sure if he'll play this week or Darren Waller. Darren Waller was fine against Denver earlier this year. He scored just over 10 points. If he's active, Moreau might be able to do that. And that's where I stand on those guys. So that's it for this week. I know it's not a lot of pertinent information that you're really concerned about. A lot of you made it to where you made it because of the players you have on your roster. And as usual, we talk about playing those guys. And I'm sure there were a lot of people last week that had Tom Brady and Chris Godwin of those types of players, and we're not happy with the performance that they had and got booted from the playoffs because of it. And that's going to happen. That's part of fantasy football. So that's it. That's a wrap for Sundays with Jeff Miller. Remember to play nice, love your neighbor, have fun. And if I don't talk to you before Saturday, which I'm going to try to do some conversation with you before Saturday and update some COVID and some streamers for you. But if I don't, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Bye.